Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the films Downton Abbey, The Grand Finale, If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, and Among Neighbors.
Well, I would like to start off today by talking about a grand finale, and that is Downton Abbey, The Grand Finale, which is the latest movie and probably the last movie, especially given that title, in the Downton Abbey saga. Of course, it started as a TV series, and then there have been three feature films. This is the third one. I have to say, I have always rather liked this. I liked it as a TV series. I've liked the movies. I'm not crazy about them. They're a little bit tame for me, a little bit decorous for me, a little bit too starchy for me, you might say, very British in all sorts of ways. But it's pleasant stuff and it's nice stuff. And obviously there is a very, very large audience for this kind of nostalgic entertainment. So Downton Abbey, the grand finale, as the title suggests, it is in fact the grand finale of the whole thing. And there's one sort of through line that really runs through this movie, which is that Lady Mary has recently gotten divorced. And oh my gosh, that has caused such a scandal. Remember that we are dealing with a very long time ago, many, many, many decades ago. And a divorce like this among respectable people, proper people, nice people, is just considered beyond the pale. So early in the film, for example, Mary has to leave, not just leave the room, but leave the building when royalty is going to arrive. And royalty simply cannot be in the same place as a divorced woman. So we have that sort of thing going on in this film. Now, there are other things, too. The family that has been owning and operating and running Downton Abbey throughout the whole series, the family has fallen on slightly hard financial times. Now, this does not mean that they are going to become breadlines anytime soon. Of course, they are still fabulously wealthy. But they really can't afford to keep everything up going the way that they used to have it going earlier in the years before World War I, for example. So this movie takes place in the 1930s, the early 1930s. So they've got to think about that. There's a lot of debate about whether they should sell their London residence and that sort of thing. So yeah, this is a grand finale for the family in certain ways, only in certain ways, not in others. And it's a grand finale for the whole series. Now, other things also happen in this movie. It's not only about the divorced woman. It's not only about figuring out the finances, although it's largely that. One thing that I found rather interesting is that a great celebrity comes to visit at Downton Abbey. And that is Noel Coward, an enormously important cultural figure in the early part of the 20th century. He was a writer, a director, an actor, a singer. He was all those things. And in fact, in this movie, we get to see him get the idea for the title of one of his great masterpieces, a play called Private Lives. But that's a little bit of a spoiler. That happens late in the film, and it's only one tiny little detail. But anyway, we have Noel Coward as a character in the movie. And again, he comes to visit, and he brings along with him his assistant, who used to work at Downton Abbey. So there's a little tiny bit of social awkwardness about that as well, and a little bit of comedy resulting from that. So those are some of the things that are going on. I also have to mention one more thing, which is that one of the characters who actually was in the TV series years ago and now has come back in this particular feature film, played by Paul Giamatti, a very wonderful actor, I think. I've always really enjoyed watching him, has come along with a new American friend of his. And the new American friend is a financial advisor. Who is helping the Paul Giamatti character get all kinds of wonderful benefits from managing his money right. And then it turns out some way into the movie that this American friend, this American financial money manager, he's a fraud. He's actually a con artist. He's actually bilked people out of money before. He just barely escaped a 10-year prison sentence on a technicality and that sort of thing. Now, I found this a little bit trite. I mean, we've seen this kind of thing in a bajillion movies. It's just not the most original story twist in the world. And in fact, the way this character, this American con artist, plays a little bit, I found a little bit shady, a little bit sinister to begin with. But anyway, Paul Giamatti does a lovely job as the guy who's apparently going to get cheated and has already been cheated. And it's fun to watch him do that. Somebody else who is back is Dominic West. Now, I always will think of Dominic West primarily as the very, very American star of The Wire, the legendary and rightly legendary television series here in America. But in fact, Dominic West is a Brit and he is an English actor and he has been wonderful in some English roles. I think of him also in The Crown, where he played a marvelous performance there. And he's really good in this too. And then we have various other people who are back from the TV series and the earlier films. So it's fun to watch them. Now, the biggest problem with Downton Abbey, the grand finale, in my opinion, is that it ends too many times. There are so many times that it seems to be winding to its final line or its final shot. And then, no, we have another final line and another final shot. And of course, people who really love the series even more than I do are going to just revel in that and think it's great. But I found it a little bit much. But by and large, Downton Abbey, the grand finale, is a reasonably grand finale to a very good series. Not a great series, but as I often say, a very good series. And it's just fun watching these really excellent actors just immerse themselves so much in this wonderful period drama. So I had a good time watching it. Takes place a century ago, looks good in our century, in my opinion, as well. Now, to really change gears, here is a movie with a rather unpleasant title, If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. This was written and directed by Mary Bronstein. It's only her second film over quite a period of years, and it's a pretty harrowing ride, I do have to say. So look out for it, but it's a very effectively made movie, and I think a really, really excellent movie in various ways. Not one of the year's great movies, maybe, but definitely one of the year's better movies. So this is a film about a woman who has a little girl and who is very unhappy with her role as a mother. She just isn't coping with it all that well. Now, to tell you the truth, she has a tremendously hard job in front of her. Her little girl has some sort of a very serious sickness and is always sick and ill. And in fact, what the mother is supposed to be helping the little girl do is to get back somehow up to a weight of 50 pounds. And if she doesn't do that, there are going to be terrible consequences. So of course, the mother, played by Rose Byrne, by the way, a wonderful performance, she's just coping with more than most mothers have to cope with. And it's very, very difficult dealing with this terribly ill little girl. And the mother has a responsibility for somehow trying to help the girl, at least on a road to recovery. And she's consulting with physicians and whatnot. It's a difficult situation. And sometimes the mother, her name is Linda, starts to really wonder if she actually should be a mother in the first place. She has a husband, yes, the little girl has a father, but he is a captain of a ship and he's somewhere out there in the ocean. We only hear his voice on the telephone up until very late in the film when he finally does show up, played very nicely, but there he is. He's away through almost the entire movie, created by Christian Slater when he finally does show up. Now, on top of this, our main character, the mother, has a job, and it's a difficult job. She's a therapist, and she's got to now deal with her little girl, deal with her job, and then literally the ceiling of her house more or less caves in, her apartment, I should say, and now she's got this horrible thing going on. She has to move to a motel with her little girl. So all of these things going on, she's got to deal with all these things. She has conflicts with people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. At one point, by the way, I want to mention that she consults herself, a psychotherapist, another person in her office, who is played by Conan O'Brien, of all people. And he gives a very quiet, restrained, nuanced performance. Interesting acting on Conan's part, I think. And definitely a step beyond his usual role as a late night TV host. Anyway, those are the things that go on in this movie. It's a very, very well acted movie. It's a very, very well directed movie. And it's a very, very intelligent movie about real psychological crises and real household crises and real paternal crises, all of which intersect and interact. And we see this woman trying to deal with these things. And then the little things that happen along the way. For example, the little girl, she really wants a pet. And so, yeah, Linda buys her a hamster. That was not a good idea. Something goes very, very wrong with the hamster. So we have things like that happening as well. Now, making all of this even more intense, and I hope the way I've described it, some little sense of the intensity comes across. The movie is shot very, very largely in close-up, not just in close-up, but in very, very close close-ups of people's faces. And in this case, the main character, and some of the other characters at times, but certainly the main character, we feel very psychologically close to her. And that's one of the reasons why this movie is so, it's sometimes almost hard to watch, because she is going through such a psychologically tormenting time. Now, interestingly, I find this movie's big flaw is a little bit tricky, a little bit manipulative. And here's what I'm primarily thinking of there. The little girl, we don't see her. We only see her at one point in the entire movie. Mostly we see little bits and pieces of her body. We see an arm, we see a leg, we see her stomach with a feeding tube coming out of it, but we don't actually see her, we don't see her face at all. Again, I mean, you know, this seems like a rather arbitrary decision on the part of the filmmaker. Again, I found it distracting, I found it not very helpful, and I just found it kind of a tricky device to use. But, you know, okay, that was a decision by the part of the filmmaker. Not one of the best decisions, but many of the decisions made over the course of this movie are actually very, very good. It's a very well done movie, a very well directed movie, a very put together movie. And again, written and directed by Mary Bronstein, who has just done a marvelous job for the most part. It's a very, very strong movie. Again, you have to be prepared for a pretty difficult psychological ride. If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You is not, again, the most pleasant title in the world, but it's a very, very interesting movie. Not one of the great movies, but I just found it very absorbing to watch. One of the better films I've certainly seen for a while now. Finally, I'd like to talk about a movie called Among Neighbors. This is a documentary, so we've got very different kinds of movies on the slate for today. This was directed by Yoav Patesh, and it's I won't call it a Holocaust documentary, I'll call it a post-Holocaust documentary, because it's about going back to a little Polish town, and yes, once upon a time it was decimated during the Holocaust, decimated by its own Polish residents, and of course by the Nazis who were controlling everything around. So what happens here is that the filmmaker and crew go back to this little town to try to find out what actually happened there. It's been largely, shall we say, papered over in the years since these horrible events took place. So many people were killed. So many people were disappeared. So many people were just gone, gone, gone forever. Okay. Actually, one of the first things that happens in the film is that the filmmaker comes upon a tombstone. Has been keeping for all these years simply because he doesn't feel that history should be erased and that people's memory should be effaced. And so he's been preserving this tombstone all these years. And it's very moving very early in the film when the filmmaker finds this tombstone and starts asking some questions about it. He also uncovers many other things, discovers things. Now, the through line of this movie that gives this documentary a certain amount of structure is one woman who has been hunting this boy, what happened to him, could he possibly still be alive? If so, could she ever possibly find him? Could she at least find information about him? So that is what carries us through the movie, her quest for this little boy who she knew all those years ago. So it's nice to be able to trace this thread over the course of the movie, which deals with so many horrific things that happened way less a century ago. And to have, you know, this one little thread, which may be leading toward an outcome, which at least is not tragic. And along the way, of course, we meet all kinds of interesting people. Some of them are very articulate about what happened. Some of them are less articulate. Some of them are around 100 years old. And they share their memories as well as they can. And that's fascinating, too. And Among Neighbors is a very worthy post-Holocaust documentary. I recommend it. We've got to keep the memories of that history alive. So that is my somewhat historical story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films Downton Abbey, The Grand Finale, If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, and Among Neighbors.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.